Thanks, Pierre. I'm going to go barefoot today. Surprise. During worship, I felt like the Lord was really tuning, wanting to tune us in the Holy Spirit. I could see a dial, and I felt like he was saying, you know what, let's tune it up a little bit with the Holy Spirit and get in the garden. I felt like the Lord was beckoning us into the garden to find rest, our sense of being there. And I just felt like it was an invitation to come join in him, in his presence, and to walk with him. Today, it's if I can get through today's message, it'll be awesome. It's not going to be a long message, I don't think, but it's about passing the torch. And so let's begin. Jesus. How many times can one say Jesus? This week has been a week where our emotions are probably all over the map. We rejoice and we mourn at the same time. We rejoice in new birth and the sound of babies, which is a wonderful blessing. And we mourn the passing of our chair elder, Jake. So if you're a visitor here, he was our chair elder, and he was a father of many of us who spoke life into us. As I prepared the message, I couldn't stop thinking of Jake and the fact that he is with our Heavenly Father. He's in the garden today. For those who encountered this man of faith, you can well attest that your experience with Jake impacted you some way and somehow, and it affected you for the better. I remember when I first encountered him, this towering man with who was much like a gentle giant, his radio voice and his hearty and gentle handshake, he welcomed me here. Throughout my experience, the one thing I know to be true is that Jake said the name of Jesus over and over again. And he would surprise you sometimes as you talk to him. He would just say, Jesus. And I remember I took Jake for a walk about a month ago, and that's pretty much all he could say. As we walked along the neighborhood, and I pointed out flowers and things around him, and he would just say, Jesus. But one moment stands out clear for me when I came on staff here. The only office room was a small little room. This is the window. It's really tiny if you've never been in there. And this was told to me that this would be my temporary room, and that this used to be Jake's office. And so it seemed like a bit of a sacred space, me coming into that little room. But when I first day there, I came in, and Jake and Esther had welcomed me into that room by putting small personal touches. They put a basket full of candy, which is all gone, and I shared. They put a plant and a card. And I'm pretty sentimental, and I hold words to be very true, and I still have that card in my office. I read it on more than one occasion. And they have deep meaning and impact for me, that card. And I want to share it with you. It read the following. God has a call upon your life. It is a call of grace. It is a call of compassion. It is the call to walk with him and know his heart. It is the call of purpose and direction. It is the call of all it means to be a blessing to others. It is the call to the beauty of his holiness and to a life of never-ending joy. and it was written by Roy Lesson. The scripture that was on there was, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Isaiah 43:1. And finally, at the bottom in Jake's handwriting was, "Welcome to this little nest. You are under the shadow of his wings. God is here, and he will bless you." And it's one of those cards that after reading it, you pause in reflection. And I remember sitting there reading the card and realizing that Jake was sharing the very call that he himself lived his life out. One of grace and compassion, purpose and direction, to bless others and to know the beauty of holiness, and a life of never-ending joy, saying the name of Jesus over and over. And this wasn't just passed on to me, but he passed this on to each one of us. This is a call on all of our lives here at Trinity Baptist to walk with grace and compassion, purpose and direction. So as our humanist grieves, our human flesh will grieve, our spirit rejoices. We will miss Jake, and we will miss his presence, his generosity, his friendship, his voice. This will cause us to grieve and to mourn. We'll keep experiencing life here at times. Life goes on for us here. And sometimes we'll want to turn around and say, "Jake, did you see that?" Or, "Jake, what do you think?" We'll notice him missing from events, and this will be hard for us as a family. But we know that as a believer and as a family member of eternal perspective, Jake is in the place where our hearts also long to be. This very spirit that was in Jake lives in us, and we long to be in the same place as Jake does, where he's living. He is with our Father, the best place. And what a place of rejoicing and praise we can say today, Jesus. So today we remember Jake and his life and his blessing. We remember the family. So let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you have left a legacy for us. Thank you for Jake and the father heart of God that he showed each one of us. We pray that you would comfort the family. Comfort us, the family, here. But may our hearts rejoice. And may our hearts be glad. Amen. So too, our sermon series has been about the family of God. We're talking about how we live our life out as the family of God. And it seems fitting to continue talking about this today, after a father has passed away. And we've been talking about adoption, and the messages have been sweet messages of reminding us of who we are to the Lord, who we are as his sons and daughters, who we are in the global church, who we are as in this church family of Trinity Baptist, and God's calling here. A family connected by our Heavenly Father, through the work of Jesus on the cross, and the work of the Holy Spirit, which teaches us and gives us wisdom and understanding, which leads us to grow and mature and to move and take one step at a time. This morning, as I prayed about what to share, I had difficulty coming to one specific scripture or one specific theme on the family of God, because I kept thinking of Jake. I kept thinking of Esther. I kept thinking about their family. I kept thinking about us, Trinity Baptist. And I thought, this is so strange. Paula and I haven't even been here 3 years. And I barely knew any of you. I've met a few. We knew Brad and Michelle and the family. And now Paula and I can't stop thinking about you. Phoebe can't stop thinking about you. And I think this is what happens when you feel connected, when you have found a safe place, when you have found warm, welcoming arms to embrace you, when God knits our hearts together for purpose and his design. It allows us to feel connected to him and to be connected to one another. This morning I said to Pierre, I really wanted us to move right into the middle again, and if you know, I do that once in a while. I thought it's a little bit hot and sweaty today, so I'll keep you guys spread out. But just wait. It may be coming. Because I wanted us to really see that we're a family unit and that we're connected. The more we get together, the more we know that we're connected. As a family unit, we're called to love one another. In Romans 12, it gives us an idea of what we're called to, almost like our mission statement of our spiritual family here. Romans 12, 9 to 16 reads, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spirit fervor, your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, and share with the Lord's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position, and do not be conceited." In the past 3 years, I've watched this body, this family of Trinity Baptist, this faith community, love others. You guys do a really good job loving others. I've watched us rejoice. I've watched us mourn. I've watched us serve. I've watched us be faithful in prayer. And we really have a gift of hospitality and a willingness to serve others. We have a vibrant food bank serving those in lowly positions, serving the poor. But if we look around us, we are a family that is very diverse. So go ahead, look around. We're a diverse family, different ethnics, come from different backgrounds. We have a broad spectrum of generations worshiping together, sharing life together, from the newest wee babies, Callie and Peyton, which we welcome into our family, to those unable to even come to us in our church building due to physical fragility, due to their age. And I think of Ethel Beck, who's still a part of us. But what is the common ideal of the family unit? If we think of what God's best is a mother and father whose one desire and greatest gift is to pass on the tools for their children to stay the course in their spiritual life. That is the one biggest blessing. To care for others, to live sacrificially, making disciples, a mother and father is making disciples, freely receiving, freely giving. We could well call this the best inheritance that we can offer our family, or the passing of the torch from one generation to another. We want our children to be prepared as they take their place as adults. Throughout Scripture, we see the importance of inheritance from one generation to the next. Inheritance was a big deal in the Bible. If we look at the Old Testament, they talked about inheritance a lot. Children wanted their father's blessing. Some children were jealous for their father's blessing and favor, and some even coveted and connived to get their blessing from the father. And David and Solomon were good examples of this, of a good passing the torch. It wasn't perfect, but it was good. David knew the big picture, and he needed to pass on the torch. David clearly wasn't perfect, yet he compiled a journal of what we call the Psalms, which are made up of songs of faithfulness, questions, doubts, praises, declarations, prayers. The Psalms are rich of David's thoughts with the Lord. And he wrote this, and then Solomon, it would have been passed to Solomon, and Solomon would have read it. He prepared Solomon in the best way possible, showing him, David showed Solomon his human fragility, and more importantly, God's faithfulness in the face of fragility. To this day, most of us, if not all, could well attest that the Psalms can be an encouragement of our faith, with deep truths that speak to the very heart of issues that we face on a day-to-day life, and what we're feeling and going through in relation to God's sovereignty. One of the greatest things David prepared Solomon for was to build the temple. That was Solomon's call on his life. And 1 Chronicles 22, 5 to 13 is a pretty long scripture. We're going to pull it up, and we'll read it together. David said, "My son Solomon is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord should be of great magnificence and fame and splendor in the sight of all the nations. Therefore, I will make preparations for it." I'm going to stop right there. Oh, I'll keep going. So David made extensive preparations before his death. So we see here in these two verses that David said his son was inexperienced and said, "I'm going to make preparation for Solomon. I'm going to make extensive preparations before his death." He knew the big picture. Then he called his son Solomon and charged him to build the house of the Lord. David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house for the name of the Lord my God." So David had it in his heart to build it. "But this word of the Lord came to me through a prophet, Nathan. You have shed much blood and have fought many wars. You are not to build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight, but you will have a son who will be a man of peace and rest. I will give him rest from all his enemies on every side, and his name will be Solomon. And I will grant Israel peace and quiet during this reign. He is the one who will build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." And just before we go to verse 11, because I really felt this was the step of David. He was now coming into the step of passing the torch. He was going to, in verse 11, he's speaking a blessing to his son, the calling that he has on his life. And I wanted to call somebody up to pass on a torch, and this is my feeble attempt at a torch. Really feeble. My human fragility. But I kept thinking of people. Who should I ask? Who should I ask and speak the verse over? And I kept thinking of names and kept thinking of more names, and I thought, well, there's a lot of people to pass a torch to here. Because you don't have to pass it to someone younger. You can pass it to somebody older. Brad is younger than me. He's passing a torch to me in our calling and our working together. I really feel that he's investing something in me for the calling that God has for me. So it doesn't have to be somebody older or younger. It doesn't have to be somebody who is the same gender as me. But we're passing a torch. And so, as we were worshiping, I felt like the Lord say, we need to pass the torch to one another at Trinity Baptist. Each one of us needs to hold on to the torch and pass it to somebody else. So we're going to do that, actually. So I'm going to give it to Pierre, and Pierre is going to pass it to somebody. And I want everyone to receive the torch and pass it to somebody. So maybe go in a loop or something. As I read the next verses, and keep passing it when it's done. "Now, my son, The Lord be with you, and may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God, as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and the laws of the Lord God, the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And I feel like the Lord would be saying, sons and daughters, receive the torch. Receive the torch that you're being passed. And I feel like the Lord is saying, pass the torch, sons and daughters. Pass the torch to somebody else. And you may feel ill-equipped, or what do I have to give? But you have something to give, because the Spirit of the Lord lives in you. So you have something to give, and you have something to offer as you pass the torch. My mother was the spiritual leader in our family. She was a woman of prayer and faithful perseverance in the face of many hardships in her life. She wasn't perfect by any means, but she modeled that we were accepted by God, that he cared for us and that he had plans for us. She wasn't afraid to speak about her faith and to warmly embrace those who experienced great difficulty in their life. She was a servant. And I didn't always appreciate her, nor did I recognize the inheritance that she was offering and modeling to me. I didn't actually recognize this until I was well in my 30s. It's a long time. As a 20-something, I thought I knew it all. I had all the things I needed to do life on my own. I didn't need advice from my mom and dad, because my mom and dad were pretty old. That was my perspective. They were out of touch with my generation. They didn't know what it was like for me growing up in the generation that I was in. Sound familiar to us? We may think that we're too old, or we're not in touch with the young generation, so what do I have to offer? But we have something to offer. We may feel that we're young and that those older than us have nothing to offer us because they're not in touch with us, and yet we have something to offer and to receive. When I did realize the significance of what she had shown me growing up, I was almost ashamed that I had squandered my inheritance. And I remembered the story of the prodigal, where I squandered it. But God is faithful, and he'll restore. And he has an inheritance for each one of us. It also reminds me of the Word of God and those who have gone on before us. We have a rich inheritance of people who have gone on prior to us that we have never met, who spoke into their culture the things of the Lord, who risked everything. They didn't seem to waver in their faith. They pressed onward, even faced persecution and death because of their faith, passing on an inheritance for us. Relevant? Is it relevant? Everything in the Bible? Relevant? It's always relevant for us. It's the Word of God. David recognized his son was too young and inexperienced, that he made preparations to equip him for the task that he would one day be called to walk in his full calling, Solomon had a calling for the Lord, from the Lord. And David knew it and prepared it for his son. As a family here at Trinity, we are also in the stage of passing the torch. We've talked about that. And might I add, we should always be in this stage as a family. A family should always be in the stage of passing a torch. We should never hold on to the gifts that God gives us, but freely give them. So we are being equipped and calling to call each other out into the fullness of what God has for each one of us, to greater service and the works from the Lord. As the scripture says, provoking one another to good works. I think provoking one another, I feel like it's a prod, a stick. Come on, get moving to good works. Do it. You can do it. I want someone to poke me sometimes, prod me on to good works. If they see me lazy or falling asleep spiritually, I need brothers and sisters to say, hey, come on. When I think of Jake and the legacy that he left, he was about finishing strong right to the very end. He had a call of eldership on his life, and Jake knew that call. This wasn't a call that was seasonal. It wasn't for prestige or recognition. And this has left an imprint of faithfulness, which is unforgettable and eternal. God's amazing grace, by God's amazing grace, it can be a torch that we too carry as we continue the next leg of the race. The words of Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 are familiar verses to us. Pretty sure we've all heard them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Heard it before? This is called the Shema. The Shema is considered one of the most sacred prayer texts of Israel. But do you know what the next four verses are? Anybody? I didn't. Awesome, thank you. Okay, who hasn't got it yet? Because I wasn't paying attention. Come on, raise your hands up. Anyone haven't received a torch? I'll give it to Paula. Here, Paula. That's a good person to pass a torch to. Yeah. The next four verses are, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Let's read that again. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Let's stand up, Trinity Baptist. Can we go back to verse 6 and let's read it together? On the count of three, and we'll do it after three. One, two, three. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You can be seated. It seems to me that love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength should be something that is so important to you that it's a part of every part of your life. In your heart, wherever you walk, wherever you go, in your home. It should permeate into every part of our life. And as it permeates into our life, we impress it onto somebody else. As spiritual mothers and fathers, we're commanded to impress these words on our spiritual children. And I'm not talking about biologically related children. I'd even say let's remove that off the table. Today, as we worshiped, Phoebe goes often to sit with Joey and Parker and Andrew, and I go, okay, I'm her dad. This is our family unit, but I'm blessed that Phoebe can sit with another family so that they can impress the Lord onto Phoebe, not just me. Phoebe's not biologically related to Andrew and Joey, but she's spiritually related, and in that, they have a gift to give Phoebe, and they're giving it. Thank you. So you may not have children in the physical, but you're spiritual mothers and fathers nonetheless, and that call does not change. It doesn't change, Trinity Baptist. You may be a single person here today, longing to be married, but you're a spiritual mother and you're a spiritual father in the sight of the Lord. And you have a call upon your life to impress the Lord to somebody else, to mother somebody, to father somebody, and rise in the calling that he has for you. We are called to invest and bear fruit, to make it a priority to equip the next generation. And Jake did that so well. He did it to people who he was not biologically related to whatsoever. To love the Lord our God with all our hearts and with all our strength, our soul, and our might. So where does that leave us here today, remembering the legacy of those who have gone on before us, not just Jake, but many more? And those of us who are still faithfully serving strong, who are finishing the race set before us. I have 4 points. Young leaders, or young people, be mindful and willing to come under the authority and leadership of those above you, older and wiser, sometimes younger, those who are spiritually a little bit more further down the road, who can encourage and bless you. Much like Solomon, who needed to be mindful and wait as his father David prepared him to walk in his calling. We need to come under somebody, anybody, who is spiritually further along. I graciously come under Brad. I love to come under that position. He's younger, but I'm getting a gift, an investment. And I will willingly submit under that leadership. It's a blessing to my life. More mature leaders, be mindful and diligent to have someone that you are investing in and making a disciple. Much like David, who knew the big picture that he wasn't always going to be there. He wasn't always going to be there. And that he needed to pass on the torch and to continue strong right to the end. Just because you pass on a torch doesn't mean that you just stop living and you stop serving and you stop moving in the gifts that God called you. We pass the torch and we continue strong right to the very end. Jake didn't just go, okay, well, I'll just pass the torch. No, he faithfully continued right to the very end. We're called the same way. I think of that as multiplication. How do we multiply? And to all leaders, and I think this is to all of us because we're all called, is to serve with a grateful heart and be willing to advance and promote somebody else before yourself. Much like Jake, who was not afraid to encourage and exalt others before himself, we're called to do the same. And lastly, love each other and treat each other kindly. I would think the greatest gift of a leader or spiritual parent, the greatest gift that they would receive is watching their spiritual family members, the ones that they invested in and have discipled, rise and take their place in humility, finding their voices, knowing the call in their lives, and serving with all their might. I think of Phoebe. And I think my greatest gift in that place is to see her rise in the fullness of the call that God has on her life. I think of Seth and Jess, who Paula and I walked with. Sorry, singling you guys out. Who walked with us in house group, coming under. And the greatest joy for Paula and I have been seeing them rise to take their place. Not with an air of perfection, maybe with some shaking feet, wondering, can we handle this? Are we equipped? And yet they rose to the calling that God had for them. Our family here at Trinity is very much in this place with a younger generation rising up to serve, willing to lay down their lives for others and to accept the call that God has on their lives. And we also have those who have served faithfully for years, who still have much to give, who are looking to finish strong. How then do we pass the torch here at Trinity? And I think as I was meditating on this, I think it begins by praying. We begin, that's the first step of a family willing to pass the torch. And we begin by asking God to release people into the fullness of service. We pray for the call of the Lord on people's lives and for people to rise in the calling that has been set on their hearts right at the beginning. We ask the Holy Spirit for revelation and then submit our will to the sovereignty and the mystery of his timing that for many may seem inconvenient. When Paula and I were asked to pray about leading house group, I could have responded in numerous ways, all of them valid and some a lot invalid too, as to why this wasn't the best time for us to say yes. But we prayed and submitted to the Lord's leading and the call on our life to lead, even if we didn't feel totally 100% ready, and we didn't. And yet, in our prayer time with the Lord, we felt like the Lord was calling us to take our place and to take the mantle of leadership. We don't want people to just fill a position for the sake of filling a position. Sometimes we're called to sacrificially serve when we don't feel like it. That's granted. But we want to rightly discern God's positioning for his kingdom purpose. And that begins through prayer. As we move toward a ministry time here at Trinity, I'd love for us to pray as we are a family together. And begin by asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom and revelation to show us the next leg of the race that he would have us run here at Trinity. Maybe passing the torch or receiving a torch or the beginning of something new or the letting go and letting down of something familiar or old and to receive something new. God has something for each one of us. He has a call on each one of our lives. So I'd like to end today with us listening to a song called Oceans by Hillsong. And this was the song that kept coming to mind as I prepared and the message, and it actually rang all week long for me. I couldn't get it out of my head. Was holding on strong. Yesterday, as I entered Portage Avenue Church prior to the service to set up a meal, the worship team that was practicing were singing that song. And I felt like, okay, God, you confirmed it. I'll play the song because I wasn't sure. And it was beautiful. But what strikes me in this video, and I kept watching it over and over again, is that the lead singer stops at one point and appears to bask in the audience singing on their own. And much like a choral conductor's joy to hear their choir sing strongly on their own, what a joy our Father must experience when after he speaks, sits back and listens to the voices of his children singing in unison and singing in the calling that he has placed on the heart of his sons and daughters. So as the video plays, feel free to get up. We want it to be a free place. If you want to come to the front, if you want to come to the cross, if you want to nestle in the garden here, to stand, to lay down, to rejoice and wait on the Lord. Let's wait on the Lord.
See you. So we say, Jesus. Jesus. We love you. We trust you. We do want to take up the torch that Jake has so graciously and beautifully passed to us. Lord, would you help us to carry it with that grace that he did? The generosity of spirit, Lord, we want that. That spiritual DNA, Lord, we ask that you would impart that by your spirit. That which we've freely received, Lord, we want to freely give. And so we ask that you release us from fear and from everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles us. And Lord, we want to run our race with perseverance. Keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just give you a word and a blessing. As Kenny was preaching, I kept getting the word that we are the church of the firstborn. And I just want to leave you with that. Firstborn sons receive the inheritance of the Father, right? Kenny was talking about that a bit. And we are called the church of the firstborn. The blessing has passed to you and me. We are the firstborn. That means we have full inheritance. The whole kingdom, the entire kingdom of God is ours. Amen? All the resources of the kingdom of heaven are ours. It is ours. So live generously out of that great inheritance that you've received from the Lord. And love richly, because God has filled us with his love. Amen. Do you receive that? Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace today. Amen.